أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله هو الحي القيوم، لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه، يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم، ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء، وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض، ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العظيم. ما شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم افتح علينا فتوح العارفين، ووفقنا توفيق الصالحين، وانفعنا اللهم بالقرآن والذكر الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يقربنا منك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا. اللهم أعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، وأصلح لنا شأننا كلها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقال المصنف وهو الإمام العارف بالله أبو العباس أحمد بن محمد بن عبد الكريم الشهور بابن عطاء الله السكندري في كتابه التنوير في إسقاط التدبير. Last time we began a list of 10 items on things that the servant can consider to take him into the state of dropping self-management. And we did 5 of those points. Please go to tanwir.nur.nu and look at the write-ups. You have the text there. It's called number 5, 10 points. And also the translation is also uploaded there. tanwir.nur.nu. In the Arabic text, we are on point number 6 then. السادس علمك بأنك في ضيافة الله، لأن الدنيا دار الله وأنت نازل فيها عليه، ومن حق الضيف أن لا يعول هما مع رب المنزل. The sixth point is that you are a guest in the dar of the dunya, and you are invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is one of the rights, duties or rights, as you want to see it, of the guest, that he should not worry about the provisions, and that is on the master of the house. And to understand this point properly, one has to understand the concept of host and guests in the Arabic culture. The guest is a person who comes to the house, and the owner of the house will tell him, you sit here, he will sit there, you will not move from that place, you will not walk around the house. It is the duty of the host to provide everything the guest needs. So the guest should not have to ask for anything. If the guest starts moving around or shows signs of discomfort, then it is kind of an insult to the host, because it's like saying that the host did not provide everything that the guest needs. So it's kind of blaming the host for not providing the hospitality that the guest is entitled to. So if we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we don't also have the right to complain. We should just sit where he seats us, feel comfortable, and wait for him to bring everything that we need. So So this is the metaphor of the guest, our being a guest in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he continues, قِيلَ لِشَيْخِ أَبِي مَدْيَنَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَا سَيِّدِي مَا لَنَا نَرَى الْمَشَايِخَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي الْأَسْبَابِ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَدْخُلُ فِيهَا. Sayyidina Abu Madian, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was asked, we are seeing that the shuyukh are entering into the asbab, meaning that they are taking the means to provide themselves with whatever rizq they need, which is nobody is to be blamed for, that is what we are supposed to be doing. But they didn't see him doing that, so they asked him, how come you are not doing that? And then he said, Ya akhi, ansifuna, الدنيا دار الله ونحن فيها ضيوفه فقد قال عليه الصلاة والسلام الضيافة ثلاثة أيام. We are the guests. Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, you are a guest for 3 days. That's the rule of being a guest. For 3 days you are a guest. The host will serve you. You don't have to do anything. You're not supposed to do anything. After those 3 days, then you became sahibul manzil. Then you became at the level of them and you start helping and all that. But in Abu Madian, he had a different calculation. He said, فَلَنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ ثَلَاثَةُ أَيَّامٍ ضِيَافَةً. So we have 3 days where we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِّمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. According to an ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one day in the sight of your Lord is like 1,000 years of those that you people count. فَلَنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ ثَلَاثَةُ أَلَافِ سَنَةٍ ضِيَافَةٍ مُدَّةُ إِقَامَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنْهَا وَهُوَ مُكَمِّلُ ذَلِكَ بِفَضْلِهِ فِي الدَّارِ الْآخِرَةِ وَزَائِدٌ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْخُلُودَ الدَّائِمِ. So we have then 3,000 years that we are entitled to be guests. And its span of life in this dunya is one part of it, is a small part of it. And he will complete those 3,000 years that we are entitled to being his guests in the akhirah. And on top of that, he will increase it with the eternal life, inshallah ta'ala. So this was his calculation about being, how long he was entitled to be the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sabi'u, nadharu al-abdi ila qayyumiyyati Allah ta'ala fi kulli shay'in. Alam tasma' qawlahu ta'ala, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum, fahuwa subhanahu wa ta'ala قيوم الدنيا والآخرة قيوم الدنيا بالرزق والعطاء والآخرة بالأجر والجزاء. The consideration that Allah is al-qayyum. Qayyum means somebody who brings the provisions. قيوم الدنيا والآخرة قيوم الدنيا, giving رزق and عطاء, gifts, رزق and gifts and gifts. And he's a qayyum of al-akhirah bil-ajri wal-jaza'. Ajr means reward and jaza' means the result, retribution, and that can be in terms of reward or in terms of punishment. فَإِذَا عَلِمَ الْعَبْدُ قَيُّومِيَّةِ رَبِّهِ بِهِ وَقِيَامَهُ عَلَيْهِ أَلْقَى قِيَادَهُ إِلَيْهِ وَانْطَرَحَ بِالِاسْتِسْلَامِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فألقى نفسه بين يدي ربه مسلما ناظرا لما يرد عليه من الله حكما. So when the servant knows this from his Lord, then he gives him drive, so to speak. Qiyad is to drive, like you drive a car, for instance. You give him the steering wheel, and all you do is you just sit back and look at what happens and what he sends you in terms of qadar. الثامن هو اشتغال العبد بوظائف العبودية التي هي مغيات العمر لقوله تعالى لا يأتيك اليقين. The eighth point is busying oneself with the duties of عبوديه, which are assigned to one within one's lifespan. This is based on the ayah وَعَبُدُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. worship your Lord until al-yaqeen reaches you. وإذا توجهت همته إلى رعاية عبوديته شغلته ذلك عن التدبير لنفسه والاهتمام لها. And if he does that, he busies himself with worshipping Allah, then that will keep him from managing himself and worrying about his existence. قال الشيخ أبو الحسن رحمه الله تعالى اعلم أن لله تعالى عليك في كل وقت سهما في العبودية يقتديه الحق سبحانه وتعالى بحكم الربوبية والعبد مطالب بذلك كله ومسؤول عنه وعن أنفاسه التي هي أمانة الحق عنده. Imam Abu al-Hasan rahimahullah ta'ala said, know that Allah has a right to a share of your time out of your ubudiyyah, of your state of servanthood. And he requires that out of his state of rububiyyah, of lordship. So the servant is asked and he is responsible to Allah in that sense. And he is responsible for every single breath that he takes, because the breath is an amana that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. فأين الفراغ لأولي البصائر عن حقوق الله تعالى حتى يمكنهم التدبير لأنفسهم وأنفسهم والنظر في مصالحها باعتبار. So how does he have any time or any energy or, to devote to his self-management and to seeking his own aims or pleasures?
وما يصل أحد إلى منة الله إلا بغيبته عن نفسه وزهده فيها مصروفة همته إلى محاب الله تعالى متوفرة دواعيه إلى موافقته دائبا على خدمته ومعاملته.
Nobody reaches the point of the minna of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except by absenting himself completely from himself and being zahid in that respect, that is, not to give himself more than the absolute due. If he directs all his himma towards fearing Allah and towards complying with his sharia, and standing always at his service, then that is the door towards the minnan of Allah.
فبحسب غيبك عن نفسك فناء عنها بحسب ما يبقيك الله به.
To the extent that you absent yourself from yourself, Allah will give you baqa, he will sustain you by himself.
لذلك قال الشيخ أبو الحسن أيها السابق إلى سبيل نجاته الشائق إلى حضرة جنابه أقلل النظر إلى ظواهرك إن أردت فتح باطنك لأسرار ملكوت ربك.
O you who are striving towards, on the road towards being saved, and you who are ardently desirous of his great presence, look very little into your exterior if you want the inner opening towards the secrets of his lordship.
Six calls. You acknowledge that you are a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this world is the abode of Allah, and you are a visiting guest to him in it. And among what is incumbent upon the guest is that he not trouble himself worrying about whether the host will give him his bride. Once said to Shaykh Abdul Madian, Qadasallahu Sirahu, our master, why is it we see the other sheikhs entering into the secondary causes and means, asbab, while you do not? He replied, my brother, judge our cases. I say that this world is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are his guests in it. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, guesthood is 3 days, So Allah is our host and we are his guests for 3 days. Allah has also said, indeed, one day with your Lord is as 1,000 years of your reckoning. So we are the guests of Allah for 3,000 years, from which comes our duration here on earth. And he will complete it by his favor in the final abode, and will add upon that term the life everlasting. Seventh course. The servant's consideration and understanding of the establishment, Qayyumiyya, of all things by Allah. Have you not heard his saying, Allah none other than he, the living and eternally subsisting. So he is the one by whom subsists the world and the hereafter, who establishes the world with his freely given sustenance, and the hereafter with his rewarding. Therefore, if the servant recognizes his Lord supporting and establishing him, he throws his reins to him and casts himself in submission between his hands, considering what comes upon him of the decrees of Allah. Eighth cause. The servant busying himself with the commands and exercises of servitude, which is the goal of life, as he said, and serve your Lord until the certain death comes to you. If his energy and aspiration are spent in maintaining his servitude, then that preoccupies him from tabir for himself or anxiety over it. Sheikh Abul Hasan Ash-Shadhuli, qadasallahu sirahu, said, for each moment there is an allotted portion for the duties of servanthood that the real, subhanahu wa ta'ala, requires of you by the right of lordship, which you are held responsible for. The same applies for each breath you take, which is a trust of the real given to you. So where is the free time for the people of spiritual insight from the rights of Allah, the Exalted, that they should be able to manage and direct themselves, and that they should consider its well-being from the view of its personal gratifications and desires? No one attains to the grant of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, except by his being absent from himself, and doing without it, directing his eager determination and aspiration, himma, towards Allah, alert to fulfill whatever he calls for, diligently persisting in his service. In accordance with your absence from yourself and your annihilation from it, Allah will cause you to submit through himself. He also said, O you who race on the way of success by him, yearning ardently for his presence, diminish your attention to your outer self if you desire the opening of your inner self to the secrets of the dominion, malakut, of your Lord. Ninth cause. You are a vassal slave, marbub, and it is incumbent upon the servant that he not have any misgivings or suspicions about his master, who is characterized by bountiful nobility and the lack of negligence and carelessness. In truth, the spirit of the station of servitude is confidence in Allah and complete surrender to him. Each of these two characteristics is opposed to self-management, direction, and choosing with Allah. For the servant, instead of these, should establish his servitude to him, and the master will establish him in his bountiful grace and the portion sustenance. Understand the saying of Allah, and command your family to do to the devotional prayer and stick steadfastly to it. We do not ask you for sustenance, for we sustain you. In other words, rise to our service, and we will support you by bringing to you our pre-apportioned sustenance for you.
Okay, that was point number 9, and we didn't read that in Arabic yet. Point number 9 is وهو أنك عبد مربوب وحق العبد أن لا يعول هما مع سيده. The wording is exactly the same as in the previous point about the ضيافة, about the ضيافة or being guests. In this point he says that we are servants, and for the servants applies the same thing as to the guests in this respect, that it is from the حق, that is the duty or the right, or whatever way you look at it, is the right or the duty of an abd, that he should not worry about the sustenance in the sight of his Sayyid. مع اتصافه بالإفضال وعدم الاهتمال. If it is provided it is a Sayyid that is known to be generous, to have إفضال, and عدم الاهتمال, and he is not careless. So knowing that the Sayyid is of this nature, the servant should not worry about the sustenance. فإن روح مقام العبودية الثقة بالله والاستسلام إلى الله تعالى. The spirit of ubudiyya is siqqa. Siqqa means to rely, reliance upon Allah, and istislam, submission to Him. وَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا يُنَاقِضُ التَّدْبِيرَ مَعَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالْإِخْتِيَارُ مَعَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And each of these tools, that is siqqa and istislam, reliance and submissions, both of these are incompatible with trying to manage one's own things or choose, make one's own choices. بل على العبد أن يقوم بخدمته والسيد يقوم له بمنته. The duty of the servant is to do his khidmah, and the Sayyid, the master, his service is to, his duty is to take care of, to give him his minnah, to give him his gifts. وقال العبد القيام بالخدمة والسيد يقوم له بوجود القسمة. So the servant will be busy with his khidmah, and the Sayyid will provide his qisma, his share, his allotment. فافهم قوله تعالى. So this is how we should understand this ayah. وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها. لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك. Order your people to do salat and persist on that. We don't ask you any rizq, we are the ones who give rizq. أي قم بخدمتنا ونحن نقوم لك بإيصال قسمتنا. So just worry about your khidma, and then we will let the rizq reach you. That was the 9th point. So it's similar to the point of ضيافة, except that it, the عبودية includes also the khidma. The guest doesn't do any khidma. العاشر, the 10th point. عدم علمك بعواقب الأمور. Your lack of knowledge of what is going to come out of your efforts. فربما دبرت أمرا ظننته أنك لك فكان عليك. Maybe you organized something that you would think, what you would think was in your favor, but in reality it was against you. وربما أتت الفوائد من وجوه الشدائد والشدائد من وجوه الفوائد. And sometimes benefits comes from difficult things, and difficult things comes from benefits. والأضرار وربما أتت الأضرار من وجوه المسار والمسار من وجوه الأضرار. And where you think you're going to get nice things, you're going to get problems, and vice versa. وربما كمنت المنن في المحن والمحن في المنن. وربما انتفعت على أيدي الأعداء وأرديت على أيدي الأحباب. And sometimes the gifts will be hidden in trials, and trials will be hidden inside the gifts. And sometimes you will have benefit coming from the side of your enemies, and you will have ruin coming from the side of those you think are your friends. فإذا كان الأمر كذلك فكيف يمكن للعاقل أن يدبر مع الله ولا يدري مسار. So how can any intelligent person pretend to organize at the side of his Lord when he doesn't know where is the luck and where is the good luck and where is the bad luck. ولا يدري أين المسار فيأتيها ولا المضار ليتقيها. And he doesn't know where the good things are so that he can bring them, nor does he know where the bad things are so that he can protect himself from it. ولذلك قال الشيخ أبو الحسن رحمه الله تعالى اللهم إنا قد عجزنا عن دفع الضر عن أنفسنا من حيث نعلم بما نعلم فكيف لا نعجز عن ذلك من حيث لا نعلم بما نعلم. ويكفيك قوله تعالى وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. So he brings a quote from Sayyidina Abu al-Hasan radiallahu anhu. Allah, we are unable to push away the harm by ourselves from what we know. So how will we not be unable to push away it from things we don't know? And then he quotes the ayah, sometimes you may hate something that is beneficial for you and you may like something that is harmful for you, Allah knows and you don't know. وَكَمْ مَرَّةٍ أَرَدْتَ أَيُّهَا الْعَبْدُ أَمْرًا فَصَرَّفَهُ عَنْكَ فوجهت لذلك غما في قلبك وخرجا في نفسك حتى إذا كشف لك عن عاقبة ذلك علمت أنه سبحانه نظر لك بحسن النظر من حيث لا تدري وخار لك من حيث لا تعلم وما أقبح مريدا لا فهم له sometimes you want something. How many times did you not want something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averted that from you and you felt resistance and frustration inside you until He revealed to you the true nature of the outcome of these your plans, and then you were happy that He had taken care of things and managed them in your best interest. And then he ends this section by saying, وَمَا أَقْبَحَ مُرِيدًا لَا فَهْمَ لَهُ. How ugly is the murid who doesn't understand. وَعَبْدًا لَا اسْتِسْلَامَ لَهُ. And how ugly is a servant who doesn't have submission. Here comes some lines of poetry. I continue reading a little bit more, inshallah. فَكُنْ كَنَاقِيل. So be according to what has been said in the poetry. وَكَمْ رُمْتَ أَمْرًا خِرْتَ لِي فِي انصِرَافِهِ فَلَازِلْتَ بِي مِنِّي أَبَرَّ وَأَرْحَمَا فَلَازِلْتَ بِي مِنِّي أَبَرَّ وَأَرْحَمَا عزمت على أن لا أحس بخاطر على القلب إلا كنت أنت مقدما وأن لا تراني عندما قد نهيتني لكونك في قلبي مكبرا معظما كبيرا معظما. How many times did I want something and you chose for me to avert it? And you were always to me better and more merciful than I was to myself. Therefore, I decided that I would not accept any occurrence in my heart, except that I would put you in front, that it would that I would put give you priority, and that you would never see me. You would not see me doing things that you forbade me because my heart is full of your greatness.
Tenth cause, your lack of knowledge concerning the outcome of events. For it might be that you planned for an affair which you thought was for your benefit, whereas it turned out to be against you, or that benefits came to you through hardships, and hardships and trials through benefits, or harms through ease, or ease through harm. It might be that gifts are hidden in trials, and trials hidden in gifts, or that you benefited from the hands of enemies, or were harmed from the hands of friends. If the situation is as we said, then how could the understanding person make tabir with Allah, since he doesn't know where true felicity lies, that he should go to it by himself, or where true harm lies, that he should avoid it by himself? For that reason, Shaykh Abdul Hassan, qaddasallahu sirahu, prayed, O Allah, we are powerless to thwart from ourselves the harm that comes from a source and in a manner we know. So how could we not be powerless to do it from whence we know not, in a manner we are not aware of? And it is enough for you to reflect on the saying of Allah, it might be that you despise something, but it is good for you, or that you love something and it is harmful for you, and Allah knows and you do not know. How many times did you desire something that He kept away from you, which caused inner hatred and rancor to enter your heart and yourself, and thus you became agitated at Him? Only that when He unveiled for you the result or outcome of that thing, you understood that He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, was all along looking after you with His excellent care in a way you could not fathom, and choosing for you in a way you did not know. How despicable is the seeker, murid, without understanding, a slave who does not surrender to his master. So be as the poet said. And here comes the poem which we've heard. After how many things did I desire, which you chose to advert from me, and you have not stopped being more kind and merciful to me than myself. I have resolved that I not have a thought occur to my heart, except that I place you before it in consideration, and that you never see me in what you have forbidden me. For you are in my heart most. So comes the story of the person who always said, Khairan, Khairan, Khairan. It was related of someone that if he were afflicted or tried with something, he would say, Good, God willing. On a certain night, a fox came and ate his rooster, and when he was told about it, he only said, Good. Then, in the same night, his dog died, and he said, Good will come out of it, God willing. Then his donkey died, and he again said, Good. So his family were very annoyed with his repeating that word without any apparent sadness showing upon him. Later that night, a band of raiders came to his town and killed all the people there except him and his family. That was because the raiders could not find out where a certain family lived from the crowing of the rooster, or the barking of the dog, or the braying of the donkey, since it was night and they could not see. So the deaths of his animals saved him and his family from being killed. So glorified be the wise regulator of affairs.
So the story we heard about the owner of the cock, now in Arabic, inshallah. وَيُحْكَى أن بعضهم كان إذا أصيب بشيء أو ابتلي به يقول خيرة، فاتفق ليلة أن جاء ذئب فأكل ديكا له، فقيل له به فقال خيره. ثم ضرب في تلك الليلة كلبه فمات، فقيل به فقيل له فقال خيره. ثم نهق حماره فمات فقال خيره. فضاق أهله بكلامه هذا درعا، فاتفق أن نزل بهم في تلك الليلة عرب أغاروا عليهم فقتلوا كل من في المحلة، ولم يسلم أهله وأهل بيته. استدل العرب النازلون على الناس بصياح الديك ونبال الحمار وهو قد مات له كل ذلك، فكان هلببا لنجاته، فسبحان المدبر الحكيم.